Okay. Acts Alive, Part 9. This is called God Gets Your Attention. Anybody ever had God get their attention? Through good things, through bad things, God knows just how to get our attention. Now, it's crucial that we understand as we're going through the book of Acts what we're doing here and why are we studying the scriptures. Where have we come in our 9 lessons or 8 lessons so far as we've learned about the apostles' doctrine and the history? We need to see the big picture of what God is doing so we also can be a part of the living book of Acts today. How many of you understand the book of Acts is still being written today? That's why I've entitled the series Acts Alive. And do you want to be involved in what God is doing? Let me see your hands. Do you want to be involved in what God's doing? I want to be involved in what God's doing too. The Spirit of God is alive and well. He's not dead. The Gospels were written about Jesus, about His grace and gift of salvation. Then we come to a time of transition. And the book of Acts is all about the ministry of the Spirit of God after Jesus ascends to the Father. We want to see and understand always what Jesus is doing. We hold fast to the head. We don't maximize gifts over the giver. We love Jesus Christ with all of our heart. But Jesus said, "Wait until you be endued with power from on high." And then there came an answer to that waiting in Acts chapter 2. But before he ascended, they said, "Will you restore the kingdom now? Will you do that?" Remember what Jesus' answer was in essence? "Fellas, men, women, it's your turn now. I'm going to go to the Father, but I'm going to send out my Spirit and an answer to the promise of the Father, so you are able to do greater works than these." So let's take a look, a little bit of perspective of Acts, where we've been, all right? The book of Acts, as you know, is a powerful companion to the book of Luke, written by the same author, by Luke, who was Paul's traveling companion, a physician. This book was probably written about 62 AD. If you've ever wondered why the book of Acts comes to an abrupt end at Chapter 28 at Paul's arrest, you take a look at the context and you discover that we don't find Paul going before Caesar in the book of Acts. We don't find Paul's death, which happened in 68 AD. We don't find the terrible persecution of Nero on the Christians, which was in 64 AD. Remember, this was a terrible man who used to light Christians on fire at stakes for torches to see at night. He was just a terrible, terrible man. But you don't find any of that in here. You don't find the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. So therefore, the book of Acts, it is assumed, must have been written a little bit earlier than all of that. You've got 4 Gospels that account for the life of Jesus, but this is the only book that gives an account of the history and the transition from the life of Jesus through to the epistles of the New Testament church. This is a history book, if you will, full of life. How many of you have ever heard the Greek word praxis? Praxis. Some of you who might be Star Trek fans have heard them use that title thrown around a little bit, but it really is a Greek word, and praxis means the great acts of someone. Someone's great acts, the acts that they did. Not the A-X-E, but the A-C-T-S that they did. And in this book, this is the praxis, if you will, of the Holy Spirit moving through the apostles, the Acts of the Apostles, and moving through the body of Christ. It's especially a book where we learn about Peter in the first 8 chapters or the first 12 chapters. And then we follow the life of Paul as he moves with the Spirit of God through chapters 13 through 28. But the neat thing about the book of Acts, it's not written by a detached author. Luke was right there. Now, Luke probably could have learned the historical record of the first 12 chapters because he had John to talk to. He had Peter to talk to. But he was right there in chapters 13 through 28 with Paul. Don't you think that would have been fascinating to walk with Paul through these situations and circumstances? Through, might not have always been fun. Paul was shipwrecked, left for dead, stoned, and treated badly. How would you have liked to have been Paul's best friend on all those occasions? Or do you think he would have said, "Oh, Paul, I'm sorry, never knew him"? No, I don't think that was what Luke did. Luke stood right by his side. But that's why the book of Acts is so alive, because he was right there. Now, theologically, in the book of Acts, Acts traces the development of the body of Christ over a one-generation transition. One generation is all it took to transition from a primarily Jewish or Hebrew church to a primarily Gentile and Jewish and Gentile together church. Acts shows us that Christianity is distinct from Judaism, but it's also its fulfillment. One generation is all it took to make that transition. I quoted to you the verse a little while ago, and I will again. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You'll receive the empowering, what? To do what? To be my witnesses, both to be martyrs, to be witnesses, to be living, breathing, vital, alive testimonies of Jesus Christ. How many of you understand Christianity cannot be done in your own strength? Amen. Come on, do you understand that? How many of you tried hard before you became a Christian to live a really good life? You know, some of us you were raised with conditioning and maybe you were able to accomplish just about all of it, but somewhere inside you knew you blew it big time. Whether it was attitudes, thoughts, or maybe even actions that you did. This walk of Christianity cannot be just mentally ascribed to. He is a Lord to be surrendered to. When you give your life to Jesus and He comes into your heart, He also brings with Him the Holy Spirit that enables you to walk with Him. And then He pours out the gift of His Spirit. There's a baptism in the Spirit. There's a strengthening in the Spirit to help us walk day by day with Jesus Christ. My prayer is that as we go through this book together, you will find that in these weeks through Acts, you'll find a fresh love for God and a fresh love for the Spirit of the Lord, a fresh love for the gifts of the Spirit, a fresh love for the fact that He's alive and well and moving today. For those of you who are guests and visitors, I know for some of you who are here every Sunday, this is summary, but for those of you who are visiting with us this morning, this is some of where we've been as we've understood the book of Acts and as we've gone through the book so far. He tells them, you're going to change the city, Jerusalem. You're going to change your county, Judea and Samaria. You're going to change the known world. That's what we're called to do. You understand, we come in here, we learn the scriptures, and then we go out through those doors into the great mission field, right? It's easy to be Christians in church, isn't it? Some of you are looking at me like, no, it's not even easy there sometimes. It's not even easy in the body of Christ sometimes to be Christians. But thank God we get to help each other over the humps and we get to help pray for each other and strengthen each other. But it's when we go out those doors that the test really comes. Are you going to live this thing? Are you going to walk this thing? Are you really going to do something with what you learned today? That's why the Bible is not just a history book to keep on the shelf or get out and study every now and then, and then you conclude, well, pages 13 through 23 apply to today and the rest doesn't, it's just history. That's not the tenor of Scripture, the meaning of Scripture, the purpose of Scripture. The Scripture is to what? Make us wise unto holy living, train us in holy living, make us wise to live God's way and to go out and demonstrate Him in the earth. How many of you understand the purpose of God is more than just getting along on Sunday morning, but to bring His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven? You understand that? Do you think Port Ludlow has completely reached for Jesus? Either side, north side, south side, do you think either side's reached for Jesus? How about Bridgehaven? All reached for Jesus over there? All the way over there to Bridgehaven. How about Minnesota? No. But you know, how do we reach these places? God's intent is to reach these places through people who love Him, who are alive in the Spirit of God, and who go out these doors of the church to be the church. The church is not just a building. You understand it's where we gather in this building, but we go out and we are His people. Now, if you'll help me, I'd like you to distribute these and just take one and pass them around. And you'll find here a real fascinating little look. Again, I'm summarizing. We were in Acts chapter 2. And remember what happened in Acts chapter 2? Remember where the Spirit of God, 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, the Spirit of God is poured out on the people who are waiting on Him, on His disciples, on the day of what? On the day of Pentecost. And what happens? There's a moving of the Spirit of God, tongues of fire on top of the place where they're gathering. The people are met by God, changed by God. And all of a sudden, the people that weren't in that upper room praying are gathered all around. They're running in there. They're amazed. They're ecstatic. Everybody says it's these wild, crazy 120 that were ecstatic. The Bible says it was everybody else running around who didn't understand that was ecstatic. They were looking at him. They were confused. They didn't get it. Now, I want to make one big point this morning, and I'm going to make it by a question. I want to ask you a question. Does God do anything by accident? Does God instead do things perfectly in His timing? Why do you think the book of Acts and the outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost happened right during a time in the world when the Romans were the conquerors and in charge? Let's just talk about a couple simple points. Why do you think that happened? What happened because the Romans were in charge? Well, one of the biggest things that happened, remember the calling of God. We're just in school this morning, the school of the Scriptures. The calling of God was to take the kingdom of God out, reach Judea and Samaria, reached Jerusalem, reached the uttermost parts. That pouring out of the Spirit and that calling came during a time when Rome was in charge. And the Romans, if they were not a good people, we know that they weren't fully a good people, but one thing they were, the world's most incredible road builders. The most incredible road builders in the world. You have commerce, you have trade, you have languages, all beginning to transport themselves over these huge, long, mile after mile of Roman roads that were built. And the transportation was easier than ever. They didn't have computers and satellites in those days, but they had this incredible system of Roman roads. And when God said, I want you to send this message out, I want the world reached, I want people to know about Jesus Christ, one of the things that was in place was this incredible system of roads that the gospel could be carried over. People could hear the stories. They could come to Christ. They could receive the experience of the Spirit of God in their lives, be totally changed because they came to Jerusalem. They met at the feast time. They were changed by God. And then your map right in front of you shows you. Look at all the places where those people went out. How do you think they went back home? Changed by God, changed by the gospel, full of the Spirit, full of life. And Jesus has already given them a mission to carry this out. Do you think the gospel and the good news and the movement of the Spirit of God and this thing called Christianity began to spread in fulfillment of what Jesus had said? Just take a look at the people that were gathered around. The Bible tells us on the day of Pentecost, these people heard speaking in tongues in their own languages, and the Bible says Peter preached, and the Bible says 3,000 people got saved that day. Do you think all 3,000 stayed in Jerusalem? They had to go back home. But what'd they go home with? Drinking at the springs of living water. Okay, maybe it didn't sound just like that. Maybe it had a little minor key in there for the Israel. Drinking, can't do it. Like Tevye, you know. Drinking at the streams of living water. But they carried the message out. They took him back home. They took the good news back home. And all of a sudden, this message begins to spread. God does all things well. We're going to find a little later in the book of Acts where the people of God, the Christians, didn't carry the message far enough, fast enough, so God gave them another little help on the way. It was called persecution. Terrible persecution. So the Christians from Jerusalem were scattered. It's a whole theological thing that happened. But what happened? They were scattered out of there, out of Jerusalem. And what happened? The gospel got spread. Does God do anything in your life by accident? Is His timing perfect? Yeah. Simply by the look at Romans road. Roads, it was perfect timing for the Spirit of God to move. Folks, this is a time of transition. We are moving, as we look at the book of Acts, from Gospels to Epistles, from Judaism to Christianity, from Law to Grace, from Jews alone to Jews and Gentiles, from the Kingdom of Israel to the Church. God's program for reaching the world was the Church, is the Church. There's no backup plan. The Church is to be like Him, look like Him, act like Him, walk like Him, talk like Him, encourage each other like Jesus. That's what we are to be like. That's the Church of Jesus Christ. And the world is supposed to be able to look at the Church and go, wow, it's a thing of beauty. They get along. They love each other. And look at the fruit of the Spirit. I want that, God. In the Old Testament, Israel as a nation was to be that testimony. They didn't completely make it, did they? But Jesus comes, changes the people, and then the Church is His plan. That's why when we gather, come on into church. Let's be church together. Let's come, and every time we gather, let's believe God's going to do some purpose and He's going to accomplish something in your life and mine, and we're going to leave here today being more like Him than ever before. So when we go out to the world, the people can look at our lives and say, I want that Jesus. All right. Now last week, enough summary. Last week, we had a lame man healed, didn't we? As we looked at Acts chapter 1 or chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, a lame man was healed. You remember the story about the lame man? He had been lame for 40 years. He had been placed nearly daily in front of the temple. Everybody in town knew this lame man. This wasn't some child who had a childhood disease that he grew out of. This was a man that was known. He was marked. He was a beggar at the gate. Do you know God does all things perfectly? Do you know that God does everything in perfect timing? All of a sudden, that day, God moves on that man and heals him. Why? Why? What was the purpose? Just so this man could be saved? How many of you believe God had a bigger purpose? Come on, how many of you believe God had a bigger purpose? This man had been lame for 40 years. Jesus didn't heal him. You think Jesus probably saw him when he went to the temple? Come on. Oh, come on. Amen or oh no. Jesus probably saw him. What do you think? Jesus got hard in heart and just left him there? Hang around, pal. I don't want any part of you. You think that was the heart of the Lord? But there was a timing. Jesus ascends. The Spirit of God is poured out. John, Peter, just going to church. All of a sudden, they see this man who asks alms of them, just like it had happened every other day. And that moment, the Spirit of God moves through them. Peter says, look on us. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he went walking and leaping and praising God, and he's still celebrating today. In heaven, I'm sure. He's still celebrating today, even a bigger celebration. But the scriptures are full, and the celebration was powerful, and people start to gather around. Now what happened on the day of Pentecost? The Spirit is poured out, mighty move of God, and people gather around. God knows how to get your attention. A divine timetable happens, this man is healed, and people start to gather around. Acts 3, verses 9 through 20. God uses miracles, folks, to gather people and to get attention to Himself. God uses miracles to get attention to Himself, and people have to sit up, take a look, and go, look what God is doing. I wonder if He wants to do it in me. Acts 3, verses 9 through 20. And all the people, how many people? All the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, wouldn't you? Thank God, thanks for healing me. And thanks for speaking the word to me. Oh man, don't go, don't go, don't go. Stay right here. Don't you think you'd be excited? All the people ran together. They didn't have the 5 o'clock news. They didn't have computers and the internet where you can get it. They didn't have CNN on the scene. They didn't have Fox News on the scene bringing 24-hour day coverage. They had a mighty miracle that took place, and all of a sudden people are starting to run around and they're starting to go, what's happening? This guy was healed. What guy was healed? A guy who's been sitting here for 40 years. Charlie was healed? I know Charlie. Hey, well, how come Charlie got healed and I didn't? Anyway, what? Charlie was healed? And they start to run around and they're amazed and they're gathering together. And when Peter saw it, I love this, he responded to the people. Peter was sensitive. Peter was sensitive to follow the Spirit of the Lord. All of a sudden, God's gathering a crowd. God knows just how to do it. Miracles are wonderful, and they still happen today. They're not dead. But there's a bigger purpose besides that person just getting met. God wants to bring people to Himself. And Peter, sensitive to the Spirit, sees it, responds, and then he preaches a very straightforward message. This is the second big sermon from Peter. Let's see how it finishes. Peter saw it. He responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we'd made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified His servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go." How do you think that was a fun little reminder for these folks? "But you denied the Holy One and the Just. You asked for a murderer to be granted unto you." Can you imagine what's going on in the crowd? "Yeah, we asked for Barabbas. He's a jerk. He's always been a jerk. And he's still out there doing jerk things. Why'd we ask for Barabbas? Don't be me." Now, they might not have said it that way, but can you imagine the shame of their spirits? They asked for a murderer to be released when Pilate was determined to let him go. "And you killed the Prince of Life." He said it straight. If you want to tell somebody the message of Jesus Christ, you got to say it straight. People need to know they're sinners to know that they need a Savior. You can't mince the words around. You can't look at somebody. You can be as sweet as pie. You don't have to be harsh. But if I don't tell you, if you don't belong to Jesus this morning, if I don't look at you as a preacher of the gospel and say, without Jesus Christ, you are a sinner and you're going straight to hell, give your life to Jesus. You don't need to go to hell. He loves you. If I don't say it straight, I let you go out the door feeling good, maybe quote a little poem or two, send you out the door so you feel a little good, but did it really change your life? Not really. Life changes starts when you understand you're a sinner who needs a Savior, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. Verse 16, His name, one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible, His name, through faith in His name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through Him has given Him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance. Peter's being nice, isn't he? As did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all His prophets that the Christ would suffer, He has thus fulfilled. Verse 19, read it with me, no matter what translation you have, please. Verse 19, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before. Now I'm going to skip down to verse 23 through 26 and hear the end of this part. It shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel, those who follow, as many have spoken, also have foretold these days. You are sons, verse 25, note, you are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed, how much? In your seed, how much? Now, God had called Israel to be the nation that reflected God's glory and brought the earth to Himself. They didn't do that. God's promise is that Jesus Christ is the solution, and He is saying all people on the earth, not just Jewish believers. Peter is already telling the Jewish people who are gathered around, you who proclaim the God of your prophets and the God of your fathers, you who hold on to that God, need to understand Jesus is for all people. Now, do you think Peter, we look back in hindsight, Peter was going to go to the Gentiles, he was going to go preach, he was going to open the door to the Gentiles, Paul carried it on. Do you think Peter understood that at that moment? Probably not. But he was talking to people gathered around who were Jews, saying, look, you guys, you've got a chance. God came to you first, here you go, come on, give your life to Jesus, because God is going to use Jesus to bless the entire earth, not just Jewish people. That's what the Bible here says. And in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up His servant Jesus, sent Him to, say it with me, bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Peter's already pointing the way. All the families of the earth are going to come in. These people have seen a bona fide miracle. They've gotten their attention. All of a sudden, God, what's going on? They're amazed. They're full of wonder. The Greek is, the words are powerful. They ran together. They were rushing headlong into a big crowd. And Peter's looking at them and he's going to preach to them. These Jews are standing there greatly wondering, the Bible says. That literally means in the Greek, they were utterly astounded. They were astounded. What's going on? What is all this about? You know, miracles create wonder. The miracle of someone being healed and someone being saved, someone being washed by the blood, being freed and delivered. The miracle of deliverance, the miracle of the baptism of the Spirit. The miracles can get a listening ear so God can get a responding heart. The miracles can get a listening ear so God can get a responding heart. These people marveled. They admired. They wondered. Peter says, why look earnestly on us? They were fixed on Peter and John. And they were looking at this man healed. Can you just imagine what was going on? We've known this man. This is amazing. What is this? And Peter says, it's not us. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. You killed him. Remember, guys? Men and women, you killed him. Remember? You wanted a murderer. Remember? Get the point? God raised him up. And now he's here to deliver you. Now, God has glorified Jesus, the Bible says. Peter preached, and he's glorified his son, Jesus. Now, in Jewish culture, the sons, when they came to a certain age, were of the same authority of the father. And so he's telling people who had not believed in Jesus as the Son of God that he is. And God was using Peter to reach their heart. Peter says, God put the stamp of approval on Christ Jesus, and now you need him. His name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. The new American Standard, on the basis of faith in his name, it's the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man. The NIV, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. The New Living, the name of Jesus has healed this man. Acts 13, or 3 verse 16 out of the Message, faith in Jesus' name put this man, whose condition you know so well, on his feet. Faith, nothing but faith, put this man healed and whole right before your eyes. Now it's time for you to turn and repent. And here's what he says, repent so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Can I ask you a question? What's it feel like to be forgiven? Come on, what's it feel like to be delivered? What's it feel like to have guilt off your back? Come on, anybody in this room ever felt guilty for anything? But when you asked forgiveness, whether it was a person or from God, and you know you were forgiven, you ever cried those hot tears coming down your cheeks where you know, oh God, I couldn't take this off my back. I just thank you because you've done it. You've done it. The proud people don't know they're sinners, and they don't know how to know forgiveness and receive it. But when you're broken before God and you know, man, no matter how much of a hotshot I think I am, I just know I need you so much. Forgive me, Lord. And you have him take that weight off your shoulders. It feels so good to be forgiven. The scripture says, if you guys will repent, times of refreshing shall come from the Lord. Refreshing. That's anapuxis. And it means a recovering of breath. Let me ask you a question. What does guilt do to you? You ever felt the pressure of guilt, the squeeze of guilt on you? You feel like there's no moving room. You just know you're bent down and burdened, and you can hardly catch a breath. Have you ever felt like that? Come on, if you haven't felt like that, you haven't lived. Come on, say amen. You know, there's just that thing that bows you over and weighs you down, and you just want to get free, and you can't. And so when you finally just wake up and you come to Jesus and you say, God, I repent, I turn away from this thing. Repentance isn't just mental acknowledgement. I literally turn away from it. I come back to you, and I don't want that weight anymore. Jesus, forgive me. And he forgives you. There's that, oh, I can catch my breath. I can breathe again. Yes. Amen. times of refreshing that come from the Lord, He's the one the times come from. You can go to movies, you can listen to music, you can do anything the world wants to offer you, whether it's food or drink or drug, and it will not deliver you like the mercy of God, the grace of God, the love of Jesus Christ comes sweeping into your life, washes you clean, cleanses you, takes the weight off your shoulder, and He says, son or daughter, you're mine, stand up free and breathe again. Hallelujah. Come on, isn't that what happened in our lives? Mercy of God, the grace of God. I can breathe again. Times of refreshing that come from the Lord. What am I trying to say this morning? God does all things well. We're making our way through the book of Acts, and I thought it was appropriate to play a little catch-up, big picture talk. Back up, take a look, and say, why have we come this way? Why has God come this way? Why is it happening? We went carefully through the book of Luke and we saw the works of Jesus. Now we've seen Him ascend and then we've seen Him pour out His Spirit so the church can be empowered and become the church. We've watched timid people, timid men and women who were afraid, become bold and proclaimers of truth. And we've seen Him do this at a time where there's Roman roads and they can carry the message everywhere. And all of a sudden God moves and He does a miracle on a man so that man can be blessed, but so that many are gathered and multitudes are gathered. Peter's first preaching, 3,000 get saved, and after this preaching, how many of you understand? More thousands got saved, and they come into the kingdom, and all of a sudden, we're watching the birthing, the unfolding of the plan of God and the birthing of the New Testament church. We are a part of this very movement of God right now. It was a pivotal time in history, that day of Pentecost. It was a pivotal time of history. The cross, the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension, the pouring out of the Spirit, the day of Pentecost, the healing of this lame man is a part of your history and mine, and it demonstrates the beautiful, wonderful, miracle grace of God in our lives today. We are a part of this church. We are a part of Acts Alive. Now, what's it got to do with you today? I believe you're going to experience a miracle this week. Today, some form or another, God's going to move in your life. Whether that miracle is healing, financial provision, or whether that healing is forgiveness of your sin, whatever it is, I believe and I am convinced God's going to do a miracle in your life this week. Now, why did I say that? Because God's going to use that to get your attention, because you and I need to walk with Him more closer, better than ever before. But God is going to use you then to turn around and give that life away to someone else. God is interested in the kingdom of God spreading, coming on earth as it is in heaven. God uses these things to get our attention. Now, I feel like a TV preacher, but I want to ask you a question. Are you ready for your miracle? Come on, are you ready for your miracle? Yes. Are you ready for a miracle in your life this week? Jesus is alive. The book of Acts is alive. We did some studying this morning, but the purpose is God is alive and well. This week, I urge you, love Him more than ever. Walk around your house singing songs. Ask Him to move and to breathe over you by the Spirit, baptizing you in a fresh way. Give yourself to the Word and watch God do something in your life this week, because He wants the kingdom of God to come on earth as it is in heaven. God knows how to get your attention and mine. Amen?